What are the qualifications for church leadership? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Pete Alwinson, my pastor.
Yeah,
thanks for coming, man.
It's Friday.
Yeah, and that's, for me, TGIF. For you, it's good heavens. It's Friday. I got to do this thing on Sunday. Remember, you never get away from it. Never more than 7 days away from absolute trauma.
That's true.
Away from the pastor.
Yeah,
that's true. Pete Alwinson is my pastor. He comes in on Fridays generally, and we answer questions together. We do that for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is because this ministry really is pro-church. I want you to know that. And Pete serves on our board, and we don't mention the name of the church on the broadcast because that's not that kind of thing. But I do want to make a statement. And besides, Pete has some good stuff to say. He is profound in his understanding of theology and Bible and human nature. And he's good at vinyl repair, too. And you just, you can't. We love getting your questions, by the way, but you have to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number. You can get a lot of neat stuff free. You can make a contribution, but you got to write the questions down. Send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. If you live in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150. Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address if you would like a response. And you always do get a response, that is, from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Father, we bow today, right now, in your presence, grateful that we're your children, and that no matter where we go, you have already gone ahead of us. We can never get out of your care or out of your gaze. You love us far more than we know or even deserve. And, Father, it's good to be able to rest in your presence. Lord, we have needs that go beyond what others even can comprehend. Some of us can't even tell what's going on in our life to anybody. We probably break down in tears. So, Lord, we come to you, and you know our hearts, and we pray that you would fill us and meet our needs. But also, Lord, use us. Fill us with your Spirit so that we could honor you in this world, and that more people could come to know how good you are and the salvation that's in Christ. We look forward to worship this weekend. And do pray for our leaders that they would speak with clarity and with boldness and with great love and compassion. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit as our priests and pastors, teachers stand before us. Be with Steve as he speaks and bless this ministry to the end that others would know your grace as we have come to see it. For we pray in the strong name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is from an email. What are the qualifications for church leadership?
And I'm going to be interested to hear what you say about this too. But I love the question. I'm glad somebody's asking it. Probably this person was asked to serve on the board of their church, and they're saying, "Oh man, am I really qualified?"
Do you think money is a qualification?
Well, I think, you know, I wrote down.
And heard.
I was, yeah. You anticipated. I said money. Well, money was the
first. Yeah. Now, don't send us letters. We're kidding.
We're
around.
We're kidding.
Yeah.
But money, no. But, you know, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 have the qualifications, which is interesting, are mostly character-based.
They really are.
But certainly you've got to have a firm grasp of Scripture, because that's your main teaching tool and your main shepherding tool is the Scriptures.
Do you, by the way, I think some of the, you know, we do a lot, we don't admit it, but we look to the people that are well known, the people who have money, the people who are respected in the community, without going to 1 Timothy and to Titus to get these qualifications. And maybe that's why our churches become corporations rather than movements of God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, that doesn't mean that if you have money that you're disqualified, or if you're well-known in the community, you're disqualified.
No.
But that's not the, and Jesus doesn't even mention that, or Paul doesn't even mention it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, in the early church, you would have many, many, many slaves who had come to faith in Christ, and they would worship alongside their richer brethren, who may not have been the elders in the church.
That's right. Sometimes a slave would be, and his master would be in submission to the leadership of the church, and it, the roles would reverse at that point.
Isn't that ironic?
Well, it was. I've often said that the Bible is the modus operandi. Well, it's the motivator for abolition movement that was to take place later under Wilberforce, and then later in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bible and Christian practice was the soil out of which that grew.
Mm-hmm.
But back to qualification.
Well, you know, character, you know, Christ-like character is so valuable and so important. I really love our elders in our church, and they are, and our deacons. They are men who are committed to Christ first.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, in our church, we don't allow someone to be an elder. We don't put their name up unless they've already got a ministry. You don't get, like you said, it's not a policy-making position. It's not a trustee kind of thing. You need a servant leader. I think time is a qualification. You've got to have the time to commit to it. Sense of humor. I think life experience.
Now, these are issues aside from the ones that you're quoting in. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's good. I've written something.
That's good. I like this.
Life experience. I think humility. Now, that would be a qualification, but I think, you know, you've got to have a certain amount of humility. Another one, I think, is loyalty to the vision, and what you're very strong on is loyalty to the pastor of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you can't tell him your opinion.
Oh, no.
You ought to.
Yeah.
But in the way you do that.
Yeah.
And grace, you know, what this ministry, Key Life, is all about. If you're a grace-based man, woman, you can be a leader, I think.
Now, there are people, and maybe the person that is asking this question is saying, I don't have that. Does anybody live up to all that?
Yeah, not perfectly.
Yeah.
Is anybody, you know, does ordination or leadership demand that you, no, not that you're perfect.
But there won't be nobody left except you and me. I wonder about you.
That's right. Boy, and then, that's true. And you became a Christian again this week, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
how did you take that? I mean, how many years do you need to be a Christian before you just,
well, I think that's a great qualification, but I think that also has to do with some balance. You know, bad stuff happens in the church.
Yeah,
you know, we're like porcupines in a storm trying to get warmth, and it's hard. We didn't leave sin outside the door when we came in, and there has to be a realistic assessment of human nature. And generally, new Christians, like new seminary students, think that everything ought to be perfect. It's not going to be.
That's right.
And so, I think the maturity gives you balance and understanding of human nature, and understanding that things are never going to be solved, never going to be absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the knowledge of God's word, the ability to teach, all of those things that are there. But we would suggest that you go to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 and read those qualifications.
I like that realism. You know, we can't fix everything in the church as leaders. So that's good.
All right, I got a whopper of a question for you.
Oh.
This is from Minnesota. How do the theologies of Reformed, Charismatic, Dispensational, Arminian compare in contrast? And tell me in 25 words or less.
Well, that's Michigan, right? They got time. They got long winters.
Oh, I did,
You know, to talk about this stuff. Well, listen, Steve, you're the master of summary. How are you going to do that? Reformed, Charismatic, Dispensational, and Arminian.
Well, the difference between the Reformed and the Charismatic is that the Reformed make rules and the Charismatic break them all. you might say that there are certain, some of these words, with the exception of Charismatic, Reformed, Dispensational, Arminian, are all, well, Reformed and Arminian would be the two major branches of for Bible-believing Christians, right? The theological view.
Right.
And I would say the Reformed emphasize the sovereignty of God. The Arminians emphasize the importance of man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're too Reformed, you can become Hitler, you know, and God is this you can become a determinist.
Mm-hmm.
If you're too Arminian, you can become New Age woo-woo. So we bring our gifts to each other at that point.
Yeah.
And then charismatic and dispensational are kind of different in a sense. You can be dispensational Reformed or dispensational Arminian.
Mm-hmm.
You can be charismatic Reformed or charismatic Arminian. And dispensationalists are people that see the Bible in a variety of dispensations, and that's where the word comes from. Charismatic comes from the Greek word
charisma, charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, and really more particularly emphasizing the demonstrations of the Spirit, like healing tongues, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Stevie did good. That's, you know, there are.
However, you know, there are some things that need to be said.
No,
right?
And what more can be said? Really, you did well. It'd be hard to be a charismatic dispensational.
Yeah, right.
Because of what good. Dispensational says about the cessation of the gifts. That's what they would believe in. But you can be.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, that the gifts of, say, tongues or healing and prophecy have ceased and are no longer operative in the same way today as they were in the first century.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be charismatic and dispensational.
If you were, it would be an inconsistency of your position. But you could be charismatic and Arminian, which is often the case, and you cannot be Reformed or Arminian. That would be the opposite poles, as you said.
Good.
You did great, man. And I just had the
line more time than that.
No, I had the opportunity to think about it.
Well,
we could have spent a whole winter talking about all those
things. Yeah, and dear friend in Michigan, if those issues are really important to you, you need to do some investigation from checking out. Because those are interesting questions. They're not always of great general interest to people. But if that's where you are, there's plenty written, and you could certainly find a lot in your Christian bookstore or talk to your pastor and get a bunch of. And all these people are part of the body. They're part of the family.
That's right.
And so some people act like that's not true.
Yeah, pursue the truth, not looking to get it so you can lord it over somebody, but just so you can know the word and can do it.
But of course, you and I know that when Jesus comes back, that he will be Reformed and Presbyterian.
That's true. We're probably wearing a robe.
And we wouldn't say that you have to be bad to get to heaven. But why take a chance? Guys, it's a joke. Don't send us letters. We're out of here. Hey, whenever you write or call, would you do me a favor and give us the call letters of this great station? And then one other thing before we go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.